Hearty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
They call us a super team, but been a lot of super teams that hasn't worked. And we came together and we continue to just believe in each other and we sacrificed and we champs now.
That's Kevin Durant of the National Basketball Association champion Golden State Warriors. Durant won his first NBA title and the Warriors their second in 3 years after beating the visiting Cleveland Cavaliers 129-120 to win the 2017 NBA Finals 4-1. Kevin Durant scored 39 points in Game 5 and was a unanimous choice as the most valuable player of the NBA Finals. Kevin says lifting the trophy, though, was a true team effort.
We did it together, man, without the whole team, man. You gotta, man, what about Patrick McCaw tonight? What about Zaza Pachulia to start the game? He was amazing. What about Stephen Curry after not having a great game in game 4, came out tonight, played like a big dog. 15 free throws, 10 assists, 34 points. You know what I'm saying? I don't say what you want about him, but he played like a big dog all series. And so to do that as a group.
Now let's hear from the big dog, Stephen Curry.
It was unbelievable. The energy in the building from the time we stepped foot on the floor was on 12 out of 10. It was just ridiculous. And obviously there are ups and downs and runs during the game, but you always could feel like we were so close to just breaking it open. And that last 3 minutes was a blur just of pure emotion and energy and you could feel it. So for us to be able to do it in front of our home crowd, something I'll remember for a very long time, and for the whole Bay Area that supported us, you know, since I've been here my rookie year, man, the depths of the NBA to hear us, you know, world champs again, crazy. Enjoy every minute of it.
As Steph Curry enjoys every minute of his second NBA title, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out my Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. If you check out the page today, you'll see a wonderful photo by Kelly Cox of USA Today Sports. Kelly's photo shows Kevin Durant hugging a smiling Steph Curry, who's holding his daughter, Riley. Another man who took part in the celebrations was Golden State's head coach, Steve Kerr.
Incredible basketball, incredible high-level basketball out there. And so congrats to them on a great season. Obviously, we were heartbroken last year, and but this year was our turn, and we're obviously quite happy, if you couldn't tell by my wet hair.
For our VOA basketball fans keeping score, Steve Kerr has now won 7 NBA titles, 5 as a player and 2 as a coach. Kerr talks about being heartbroken last year when the Warriors lost to the Cavaliers in the NBA Finals. Well, you might say Coach Kerr was heartbroken through much of this year's NBA playoffs. That's because Kerr wasn't able to coach the Warriors because of chronic back problems. After a 6-week absence, the 51-year-old Kerr returned for Game 2 of the NBA Finals, and he's now celebrating another championship. Cleveland superstar LeBron James averaged a triple-double during the NBA Finals, 33.6 points, 12 rebounds, and 10 assists over five games. But it wasn't enough for LeBron to win his fourth NBA title. LeBron was asked if he and the Cavaliers felt overmatched by the Warriors.
No, I don't think I've ever, not one time did I feel like we were overmatched until probably like, I looked up there, it was like a minute 20. And we were down 13, I believe, or something at that point. And I was like, okay. We left everything on the floor and it still wasn't enough. They assembled a great team. You know, we was able to get them last year and they went out and got, you know, one of the best players that this league has ever seen. You know, so, you know, they did a good job of, a great job. You know, their front office and their players by doing that recruiting, the things that they did in the summertime, and obviously it paid dividends.
That's LeBron James of the Cleveland Cavaliers speaking after losing the 2017 NBA Finals to the Golden State Warriors. And LeBron was speaking in Oakland, California. A few fun facts now about Kevin Durant, who, as I mentioned earlier, won his first NBA title and was named the most valuable player of the 2017 NBA Finals. The 28-year-old Durant was born here in Washington, D.C. He played one season of college basketball for the University of Texas, and in the 2007 NBA draft, was the second overall pick by the Seattle Supersonics. After Kevin Durant's rookie NBA season, the team relocated to Oklahoma City and became the Thunder. Kevin Durant played nine seasons for the Thunder organization before signing with the Golden State Warriors as a free agent in July of 2016. Kevin Durant has also won two Olympic gold medals for the USA in men's basketball at the 2012 Games in London and the 2016 Games in Rio de Janeiro.
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Here's a sunny side of sports salute to Iran's national football team, which became the second to qualify for next year's World Cup in Russia. The Iranians booked their ticket to Russia by beating Uzbekistan 2-0 in Tehran. Iran tops Group A in Asian qualifying and cannot be denied a top-two finish, so they clinch a World Cup berth. Brazil was the first team to qualify for the 2018 World Cup. In Tehran, thousands of Iranians poured into the streets to celebrate the World Cup qualification. There were also celebrations in other Iranian cities, as social media sites showed online video clips of people dancing, waving flags, and honking car horns. Iranian President Hassan Rouhani also joined the celebrations, saying on Twitter, and I quote, "Congratulations to the nation and our national team for qualification for the 2018 FIFA World Cup in Russia. You made us all proud." Iran has qualified for the World Cup 5 times, but has never advanced past the group stage. Iran's only victory at the World Cup came at France 1998, when Iran beat the United States 2-1. Now let's go to China, where teammates of former Ivory Coast international Cheick Tiote held a memorial in his honor Tuesday on the outskirts of the capital, Beijing. Tiote died June 5th at the age of 30 after collapsing during a training session with his Chinese club, Beijing Enterprises. The death of the former Newcastle United midfielder prompted tributes in England, as well as his Ivory Coast homeland, and of course China. During the memorial on Tuesday near Beijing, his former Newcastle teammate Papis Cisse of Senegal said, and I quote, "I live some extraordinary moments with this man, and today he's gone. Rest in peace, Cheick Tiote." I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America. VOA.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a look at the challenges facing women and girls in Africa on their road to empowerment. We'll examine the current situation and look ahead at the way forward. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here.
The Voice of America, VOA.
Hi, I'm Helen Maroulis, Olympic champion for Team USA, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Another Olympic champion, Usain Bolt, ran his final competitive race in his Jamaica homeland over the weekend. An emotional lightning bolt won the 100-meter dash on home soil, clocking 10.03 seconds at the second racer's Grand Prix meet in Kingston. Now, Usain Bolt usually is one of the most confident athletes in the world, but he confessed to being a nervous wreck before competing in front of his many Jamaican fans.
I don't think I've ever been that nervous. Running 100 meters, for me, that just the atmosphere and the people, the support that they came out and gave me tonight, it was really nerve-wracking. I never expected this. I knew it was going to be big, but the stadium was ram-packed, and I really appreciate you guys for coming out and supporting me. I really appreciate that.
Meanwhile, another Olympic champion, Mo Farah of Britain, won the men's 3,000 meters race in Kingston, and he paid tribute to Usain Bolt.
Yeah, no, it was amazing. You know, it's great legacy he's done for the sport. And as an athlete, you know, someone we looked up to as a role model, we're going to miss him.
Yet another Olympic champion who will miss Usain Bolt is Kenyan star David Rudisha.
Well, we are very grateful. Usain is a legend. He's a great athlete, and we loved him, and we're going to miss him, you know, in track and field. But we wish him well as he retires.
Usain Bolt is planning to retire from athletics after the World Championships in London in August. Jamaican sports reporter Denise Walters has followed Bolt throughout his career.
It's a mixed bag of emotions because I know I will see him at the World Champs, but I won't ever see him run in Jamaica again. And it's like, this is a sacred moment. I can tell my grandchildren about this. It's a sacred moment. So while we treasure it, it's also sad to see him say goodbye.
Jamaican sports reporter Denise Walters.
Hello! This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music.
Wake up, dance this music.
Like to stay on top of new music trends? Breakout artists? New releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. Joining us once again on the sunny side of sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Good to be here with you.
The Golden State Warriors lift the trophy for the second time in 3 years. I'm guessing they might be trending, Andrew.
Oh, most definitely. Lots of talk about Golden State. And the one thing that I noticed and that we've seen in recent years with social media is that it does not end with the end of the game or the trophy presentation. We actually got to go inside the locker room and see Golden State celebrating thanks to social media. We learned that Kevin Durant said he's not a beer guy. He was trying to chug a beer, not really his forte. Better to leave his skills, I guess, on the court than in the bar or in the locker room. Buckets of champagne, all these celebrations that are going on. And to that point, we got to see a nice moment with Kevin Durant and Wanda Durant, his mother, there on the court. They are just celebrating, hugging, bouncing all over the place. Of course, KD finally getting that title, getting that MVP Finals MVP award, and celebrating in style with his mom, Wanda. So lots of people saying his mom, Wanda, was the real MVP because she had such a great celebration. They were having such a great time. But a lot of people talking about on social media that now that Golden State has won this kind of rubber match, if you will, the third time that these teams are meeting in a row, it's going to silence those who bring up that they blew that 3-1 series lead in last year's final. Mm. That's been kind of the talk for the past year. Oh, Golden State, you know, blew the lead. Cavs came back. Well, this has silenced that now. It takes away a lot of that firepower, a lot of that bite from that line that people like to use. For Cavs fans, a lot of reflection today, wondering what they could have done better, what LeBron could have done better, how the team builds from here. It looks like this Golden State Warriors team is a lot like that Miami Heat team that LeBron was on that was supposed to be this dynasty that only ended up winning one final. Lots of fans saying that this Golden State team is that come to fruition between Steph Curry and Kevin Durant and all the firepower they have on that team.
And it's probably worth pointing out that Durant and Curry are a little younger than LeBron. LeBron at 32, and some say maybe age is will slowly catch up to him, because I know he had a great NBA Finals. He defied his age, if that's the case. But speaking of golden moments for the Golden State Warriors, Andrew, I do encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. As I mentioned earlier, there's a wonderful photo by Kelly Cox of USA Today Sports. Kelly has a photo of Kevin Durant hugging Steph Curry, and Curry is holding his daughter, Riley. Remember her, Andrew? Riley, she made all those podium appearances with Steph at previous NBA Finals.
A social media favorite, for sure. And actually, on that note, that was a nice embrace to see those two teammates hug, but there was a really nice moment where Kevin Durant and LeBron hugged it out at the end of the finals. A lot of respect for those two players and a lot of respect between them. So fans noting that moment, saying it was a classy move for LeBron to congratulate him. After KD has had that experience before, losing in the playoffs, losing in contention for that title. So he knows what it's like. And now that he's finally gotten there, to have that respect for each other was really a nice moment.
Kevin Durant and LeBron James, of course, both very well paid, Andrew. And I understand you have a segment this evening for our VOA listeners on Forbes magazine and their list of the highest paid athletes.
Yes, we've been teasing this over the past couple days, and it is finally here after Forbes has released its list of the top 100 highest earning athletes in the world. And if you look at this list, it's a who's who of athletes. I mean, these are household names, especially you look at the top 10, top 20. So number 10, we have Lewis Hamilton, of course, the famed auto racer, made $46 million last year. Then we go to number 9, James Harden, the best beard in basketball.
Houston Rockets.
Number 8, Steph Curry. Not the last name that we've been talking about in this show that we're going to hear, but Steph Curry, number 8 on this list, earning $47.3 million. Tied for number 6, Andrew Luck of the Indianapolis Colts, the National Football League, and Rory McIlroy, of course, the great golfer. And then we get to the top 5. Number 5... who else? Kevin Durant.
Okay.
$60.6 million that he made last year.
Wow.
Between endorsements and salary. Number 4, another name we've been talking about, not so much during the clay court season, but in previous weeks we've been talking about him a lot, Roger Federer. Number four on the list.
Rafa. Fresh off La Decima.
Yes, even though Roger couldn't participate in the clay season, he's hopefully make a comeback at Wimbledon. We'll see how that works out for him. Number 3, Lionel Messi. Number 3, $80 million made last year.
Now, this includes endorsements, right?
Yes,
right, Andrew?
So it's actually $53 million in salary and prize winnings, $27 million in endorsement for Lionel Messi. Number 2, he did not win the final, but he is second on this list, LeBron James, $86.2 million. Of that, $55 million in endorsements. So a big chunk of change from his endorsement deals. And finally, number 1, drumroll please. If it's not Lionel Messi, who else could it be? Cristiano Ronaldo, number 1 on the list.
Ronaldo, number 1.
$93 million. A lot of money. $58 million of which he has from salary and prize winnings. $35 million from endorsements. So quite a big chunk of change that he's making. So the top 10, they're doing pretty well, I'd say, as far as earnings. And we're seeing, actually, outside of the top 10, a lot of the names that we've been talking about in the show in recent weeks, the headline makers, if you will. Tiger Woods, this I find fascinating. Tiger Woods is number 17 on the list. He has earnings last year of $37.1 million. $37 million of that was from endorsements. $100,000 was from tournament winnings and salary. It just goes to show how much those endorsements can really boost the salaries for these athletes. As you mentioned, La Decima, Rafael Nadal is number 33 with $31.5 million in earnings. And as I mentioned, I think back on Friday, there's only one woman on the list. I think you may have guessed it earlier, but I'll have to see if you can remember who it is.
I'm guessing she might wield a racket now and then, although probably not right now.
Not at the moment, but yes, that is her preferred weapon of choice on the court. Serena Williams coming in at number 51, $27 million, which includes $8 million in prize money and $19 million in endorsements. Only woman on the list. Kind of surprising that it's a male-dominated list when there are other female athletes. Maria Sharapova, for instance, we've talked about in the past that she has a lot of endorsement deals. Maybe those have dried up some since her doping ban. But yeah, Serena repping the women and solidly there on the list. And then towards the end of the list, some names that our listeners might be familiar with. Anthony Joshua, number 89, making $22 million last year. And number 98, just getting into that top 100, Vladimir Klitschko, $21.5 million. $17.5 million from earnings, just $4 million from endorsements. So he is earning most of that money. But lots of sports represented here. Basketball, baseball, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, you name it, it's all on here. But some very beloved and well-paid athletes.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much.
And that wraps up the June 13th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. In an address to the United Nations Human Rights Council in Geneva, U.S. Permanent Representative to the UN, Ambassador Nikki Haley, said the United States is looking carefully at the Council and U.S. participation in it. Ambassador Haley made clear that the U.S. considers the protection and promotion of human rights crucially important. Respect for human rights, she said, is deeply intertwined with peace and security, and human rights violations often serve as triggers for instability and conflict. Strong resolutions adopted by the Human Rights Council, Ambassador Haley stressed, can give hope to people who are fighting for justice, democracy, and human rights, and they can pave the way for accountability. In a speech later in the day to the Graduate Institute of Geneva, Ambassador Haley pointed out that when the Council fails to act properly or fails to act at all, it undermines its own credibility and the cause of human rights. The United States does not seek to leave the Council, but, Ambassador Haley said, critically necessary reforms must be enacted to reestablish its legitimacy. The first is the UN must take steps to keep the worst rights abusers from sitting on the Council. To do this, election procedures must be changed. Now, regional blocs nominate slates of predetermined candidates that never face any competition for votes, Ambassador Haley observed. We must change the elections so countries are forced to make the case for membership based on their records, not on their promises. Secondly, the Council's biased Agenda Item 7, singling out Israel for automatic criticism, must be removed. This relentless, pathological campaign against a country that actually has a strong human rights record makes a mockery, not of Israel, but of the Council itself, said Ambassador Haley. These changes are the minimum necessary to resuscitate the Council as a respected advocate of universal human rights. Ambassador Haley urged all like-minded countries to join in making the Human Rights Council reach its intended purpose. She emphasized that the United States will never give up the cause of universal human rights, in the Council or anywhere.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou. Please join me live every Tuesday at 17:30 UTC in VOA's health program, Health Chat. Hear from doctors, nurses, international experts discussing the health issues of your concern. Health Chat puts listeners directly in touch with medical professionals. You can talk to them live for free or email your questions. Health Chat brings the medical professionals to your home.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, a look at the challenges facing women and girls in Africa on their road to empowerment. We'll examine the current situation and look ahead at the way forward. On the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.